Monitor menu. Cole Porter music, a wedding, and a preview of a fight, Bob and Ray, and a southerner with some stern words for General Robert E. Lee. Coming up on Monitor, but now...
B.F. Goodrich presents George Burns and Gracie Allen. This is Harry Von Zell, and I want George and Gracie to tell you about the George Burns and Gracie Allen Old Tube Roundup.
Folks, we want to get old-fashioned tires with dangerous inner tubes off the highways. That's why we're holding the Burns and Allen Old Tube Roundup at your B.F. Goodrich retailers. Tell them, Gracie.
Well, during our Old Tube Roundup, your B.F. Goodrich retailer will give you the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires when you buy B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires.
And he'll give you a bonus dollar for each of the dangerous inner tubes in your old tires.
That's right. B.F. Goodrich retailers are trading high. So trade in your old tires for the safety of B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires and get a really high allowance plus the special bonus dollar for each of your old inner tubes. Give your car tubeless tire safety before the 4th of July holiday. Drive in at the sign of B.F. Goodrich, first in rubber, and first in tubeless, too.
A monitor snapshot, the sound made by worms turning in the ground. Our microphone has been buried in soft topsoil on the cabbage patch of a Mrs. Wiggs in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Amplified considerably, the sound of worms turning. Thank you. Another monitor sound, the sound of an early bird getting the worm.
Monitor goes down the middle aisle now. June's a time for brides, and Monitor is always seasonable. Cairo papers, please copy. That's Cairo, Egypt, not Illinois. Monitor reporter Wilson Hall is standing by, and if you think the father of the bride looks glum, you ought to see the groom.
I'm up to the women on the roof at the wedding reception for Hamida and Abdu in Old Cairo. Down in the narrow street below, the wedding celebration is an all-male affair. Up here, it's women only. I've managed with invitation to get up to the roof where the female reception is going on for the new bride. This is strictly against Arab and Egyptian custom. No man is supposed to be allowed up here. No men, that is, except a couple of big, burly male cousins of the bride, whose job it is to guard the door and see that no male prying eyes get up here. I had to convince them that Monitor's trip to the female side of a wedding reception in Egypt was strictly in the line of full scientific reporting, not for looking. The big boys are keeping a close eye on me to see that I keep my eyes close to the microphone. I'll do just that. The 17-year-old bride, Hamida, is sitting on a sort of throne-like chair. Two little girls dressed in white are standing on each side of the bride. The only light up here on the roof comes from two candles that the little girls have clutched in their hands. The bride is surrounded by her female relatives. They've been trilling and being happy up here for hours. The bride is dressed in white with a small white veil, much the same as any bride in America. Pretty, of course. Her hands, primly folded in her lap, are reddish-orange, henna-tinted. The night before the wedding ceremony here in Egypt, both the bride and the groom cover the palms of their hands and the soles of their feet with henna dye. There's no mistaking a newlywed in an Egyptian village. The bride's lady friends are dressed mostly in black, the traditional dress of the Egyptian village woman. Some have veils or half veils covering their faces. The high-pitched yodel is the Egyptian women's way of expressing happiness. It's called zagarit. And any time in Egypt you hear this piercing sound, you know that the women are celebrating a marriage or a birth or a return of a relative from a long trip. No polite behind-the-hand whispering for these ladies. If they're happy, you know it. In a few hours now, the ladies will lead the way downstairs, making as much noise as they can. The noise serves two purposes, I understand it, entertainment and to scare away any evil spirits who might be hovering around to interrupt a happy wedding. The bride will follow. The groom meets his bride downstairs. The men who are standing guard over the new bride are giving me the signal. They think I've spent enough time in the women's quarters at an Egyptian wedding. They think that Monitor has spent enough time breaking a custom and a tradition. I'll take the hint, climb back downstairs for the male part of the celebration. Our next Monitor report from the street for the end of the wedding celebration of Hamida and Abdu in Old Cairo. This is Wilson Hall, and that's the Monitor Cairo report.
B.F. Goodrich presents George Burns and Gracie Allen.
George and I are campaigning to get all the dangerous old inner tubes off the highways. So we're having an old tube roundup. Tell them about it, George.
Right now, your B.F. Goodrich retailers are giving the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires when you trade for the safety of B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires. In addition, they're paying a dollar extra bonus for your old tubes.
Yes, sir. From now until July 4th, you'll get the special $1 bonus for your old inner tubes, and you'll get the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires when you trade for B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires. Many B.F. Goodrich retailers offer you convenient terms as low as $1 down and your old tire. Drive in at the sign of B.F. Goodrich and trade your unsafe tires and tubes.
Remember, you get a dollar extra bonus for your old inner tubes.
Let's go back to that Cairo wedding. I like it. Wilson, how runs the course of Teru love in the land of the Nile?
Back with the cap guns and the music of the Egyptian wedding in Cairo. Early this afternoon, the friends of the bridegroom and his father, went over to the bride's house, picked up the bride, and brought her back to the father's house. If this wedding had taken place in Aswan, where the bride and the bridegroom come from, the husband-to-be would have picked up his bride at her home with either donkeys or camels, and the camel procession would have come back to his house, led by drums, by fifes, and by dancers in the street. However, since this is Cairo and the modern world sneaks in once in a while, he went to pick up his bride this afternoon in a taxi. The wedding guests here are slowly leaving the narrow alley, the narrow street here in Cairo called, so help me, the narrow street of the monkey. Going home after the wedding reception at which neither the husband nor the wife was present. So much dust that the flickering gas lamps above can hardly be seen. All we can see are the flags decorating the... All we can see are the flags which are decorating the top of between the two buildings, which are hung between the two buildings here. And right opposite on the wall is painted some pictures proving that the man who lives in the house has made the annual pilgrimage to Mecca. Picture of a boat which shows that he went to Mecca by boat. And it looks like some hands, just some handprints on the wall. And evidently some writing in Arabic, the Arabic which says that this man has been to Mecca and is to be treated as such. Since he is to be known as Hajj, the title which is given to a man when he does make the pilgrimage. Abdu and Hamida Hanafi, the new bride and groom, the bridegroom 20, the bride 17, have welcomed us here to their wedding tonight in Old Cairo. And for Monitor, we must say in Arabic, Mabruk, which means congratulations. This is Wilson Hall, and this has been an Egyptian wedding. And that's the Monitor Cairo report.
B.F. Goodrich presents George Burns and Gracie Allen. This is Harry Von Zell, and my boss, George Burns, has some exciting news about the Burns and Allen Old Tube Roundup.
Let me tell it, Harry. You see, inner tubes are the cause of most tire failures.
That's right, friend. It's the inner tube that blows out. It's the inner tube that goes flat. So George and Gracie are leading this crusade to get dangerous inner tubes off the highways. Now, right
Let me tell it, Harry. Mm-hmm. Right now, your B.F. Goodrich retailer is offering the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires when you trade them for the safety of B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires. But more than that...
Oh, this is the part that I like. More than that, your B.F. Goodrich retailer is also giving an extra bonus of $1 for your old tubes when you trade for tubeless tires.
Before I lose out altogether, just let me urge you to see your B.F. Goodrich retailer right away. They're trading high.
Drive in at the sign of B.F. Goodrich, first in rubber, and first in tubeless, too.
Monitor at ringside, specifically Archie Moore, light heavyweight champion of the world. Archie's position's being challenged this Wednesday, you know, by Bobo Olsen, who believes that he is capable of holding the title. Well, it'll all be resolved this Wednesday night. Monitor reporter John Kieran. Hi, John. Get 2 out of 3. Interviews the champ.
Archie, you care to make any prediction?
Well, John, I will only try to do the best that I can to win the fight. I expect to win the fight against any light heavyweight. Although, at this fight, I know that I'll be handicapped on account of I have had to suffer so much in making this weight. When I speak of suffering, I mean as far as not being able to eat the things that I would like to eat and drink some of the beverages that I would like. So, therefore, sacrifice is a little suffering on my part.
What kind of fight do you anticipate from Bobo?
I can only speak for myself. I anticipate fighting him a hard fight, and
you think you can take him out?
I'll be trying to, that's for sure.
I saw you against Harold Johnson, I believe it was a little over a year ago in Madison Square Garden, and for quite a while there, Harold was doing pretty well and piling up some points. Was anybody say anything to you around about that 13th, or I think it was 14th round?
Well, my manager and my trainer, Cheerful Norman, told me that I had better step out because the decision was in jeopardy.
And you did step out, and right in the first minute of the round, I believe you knocked him cold.
Yes, 59 seconds.
If Bobo should pile up a few points on you by that late in the fight, do you suppose you can go out and get him the same way?
Well, I guess I'll be trying to overhaul him, but I don't intend to let him get that lead on me.
Well, now, let's look ahead even further, Archie. We've heard through the press from Bobo Olsen's people that if he wins, he's not going to meet Marciano immediately. We know that you're the number one contender for the heavyweight title. Will that be your next effort if you can bring it off?
Yes, that'll be my next fight to try to get Marciano into the ring in September.
Well, now, he's a strong boy who's fought both punchers and boxers and survived and eventually lowered the boom on his opponents. What makes you think that you would stand a good chance or beat him?
Well, I think that I can fight a little different than the other fighters that he's fought. I have a different style of fighting. I don't think he has fought anybody that fight the style that I have.
Would you think that he has fought either boxers or punchers and that you combine boxing and punching, that is power and boxing skill?
That's right, and speed.
So you think you'll meet Marciano in September?
I hope I will.
Well, Archie, I want to thank you for taking this time out from your training over here at Aeson's camp in New Jersey and wish you good luck. So while we're getting into the Monitor's mobile unit to go over to Asbury Park and talk to Bobo Olsen, now back to Monitor at Radio Central in New York.
Good weather or bad, you can always count on Morton Salt. When it rains, it pours. Listen to all the stuff coming up on Monitor, all direct and transcribed, all coming up on Monitor.
This is Monitor, the new NBC radio service.
This is Mel Brandt, and in 3 seconds, more Monitor music. Ralph Flanagan and You for Me.
We. It's you, me, you family.
Monitor music now with Ralph Flanagan and Wang Wang Blues.
Just 1 minute and 25 seconds, Monitor will take to the road for the music of Whitey Burquist and his orchestra. Later on, Jonathan Daniels comments on one of the more important books on the Civil War, Clifford Doughty's The Land They Fought For.
And now, the biggest news for car buyers in years. The distinctive Rambler tops the whole low-price field in resale value, and by a whopping big margin. Latest figures from the official NADA used car guide show that the Rambler returns up to 11% more of its original cost than any other car in the low-price field. Yes, here's unbiased, unquestionable proof that Rambler's your smartest buy today. No wonder Nash dealers from coast to coast are setting new sales records for the Rambler. To date, Rambler sales are maintaining a sizzling pace, 2.5 times ahead of any previous year. Visit your Nash dealer. Ask him to show you the official, unbiased NADA figures on resale value. Then, drive a Rambler. The car that costs less to buy, less to run, gives you highest resale value.
Now, one of Cole Porter's best, You Do Something to Me. To Chicago now, on the Monitor music of Whitey Burquist.
There you are. That's Monitor Music from Chicago, a Tony Iovello arrangement of You Do Something to Me. 30 strong musicians under the aegis of Whitey Berquist. And now back to Monitor in Radio Central in New York.
And now, good weather or bad, you can always count on Morton Salt. When it rains, it pours.
In Atlanta, it's 77 degrees and fair. Miami, 84. Partly cloudy. Cleveland, 86. Fair.
Coming up shortly on Monitor, we've said it before and we'll say it again, Bob and Ray.
Oh, I couldn't find my paper.
Right here is Monitor's animal lady, Anna Mary Sturtley, who is...
Excuse me, Miss Monitor, may I come in here for just a few moments?
Speaking from the Bob and Ray isolation booth, and Anna Mary, it's a pleasure to see you.
I'm sorry that I didn't mean to have Miss Monitor move.
That's all right. Now, we have...
A lot of folks say that we sound so much alike. I just hope there isn't any confusion in voices,
I don't think there's too much confusion there. We have a lot of letters from listeners of Monitor who evidently have animals that they would like some information on. Are you ready?
What were you saying? I wasn't listening.
Here's our first question, animal lady, from New Rochelle, New York, a youngster 18 years old up there.
First of all, before I'd like to point out here, I think it's very important that I establish the fact that I'm called the animal lady, not because of any facial characteristics, but because of the subject matter with which I dwell. Yeah.
Right. Okay, here's the first one from New Rochelle. Young man would like to know, what is the best time to take my taper for a walk?
Take a taper for a walk? Well, I don't know. Well, what other questions do you have now?
All questions about animals, Anna Mary, and if you can help out any of these people with these pets, I'm sure they're going to be very appreciative. A little girl up in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, says, I have recently acquired a lynx and a lemur, and I wonder whether they can live compatibly.
A lynx and a what?
A lemur.
Well, now... I've been here now for 2 hours, and you've had these questions. I don't see why you didn't ask them of me before went on the air, rather than make an idiot of me.
Well, I am not trying to
I don't
make...
know anything about a lynx and a lemur.
Well, a lemur. L-E-M-U-R, lemur.
I don't care how you spell it, Freddy. The point remains that you've had plenty of time to check these questions with me, rather than embarrass me coast to coast.
Now, wait just a minute, please, animal lady. You are a Monitor's animal expert, in a sense.
Well,
and
yes,
any questions which happen to come up are supposedly...
But I think you went through the mailbag looking positively for the most difficult questions you could find.
I took these at random.
The animals I like to talk about are dogs and cats and cows and things like that.
Making a real goop of me, right?
Papers and links...
Now, are you going to answer some more of these or not?
Well, I'll try one more.
All right. Now... What is, this is a problem of someone in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, who says about 6 months ago I acquired an ocelot, and it wakes up long before I do in the morning. How can I get my ocelot to sleep longer?
Well, this just points out, now, this is another question with which I have no answer. I'm no authority on those kinds of animals.
I'm afraid you're just not prepared.
This is frightful. I'm leaving Radio Central.
Look over the mail, and we'll try to get back to you later. Now back to Radio Central.
Terrifyingly.
We warn you, Bob and Ray will come around again. Time now for Monitor's Sunday Review of Literature. You know, the interest in General Stonewall Jackson, Beauregard, Grant, and Lee is becoming so widespread that there's an increasing number of American wives who can justifiably say that they have lost their husbands in the Civil War. One of the more important books recently published on the subject is Clifford Dowdy's The Land They Fought For. And here's a comment by Jonathan Daniels, author, biographer of former President Truman, and editor of the Raleigh News and Observer. He's a Southerner, but listen, sir, to this.
This is Jonathan Daniels, editor of the News and Observer of Raleigh, North Carolina. As one of the many who will enjoy Mr. Dowdy's book, I found myself in occasional disagreement, too. One thing which makes Mr. Dowdy an always interesting writer is that he is a passionately opinionated man. His likes and dislikes are shot out like Confederate mini-balls. He not only confidently recounts mistakes, also he does not hesitate to provide psychiatric diagnoses of generals and politicians a century after aberration. Indeed, his book is an almost panoramic picture of the emotional and mental flaws which overtake leadership when leadership puts its dependence in arms. Oddly enough, in such writing, President Jefferson Davis, whom Mr. Dowdy most damns, emerges as a much more understandable character than Robert E. Lee, whom he most loves. I may be thrown out of the late Confederacy myself for saying it, but the familiar, worshipful portrait which Mr. Dowdy draws of Lee leaves me wondering about the greatness of a Lee who was subservient to stupidity so long. Nobody will miss the fact that Mr. Dowdy, as a Virginian, wrote this book in Richmond. He wrote it, too, as an inheritor of Confederate tradition. Yet I doubt that it will be accepted as a standard work even by the Richmond chapter of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. Mr. Dowdy records the heroism, the sacrifices, the devotion of the South. But his story is basically that of a people who seemed to rush to their doom as their arrogant antebellum leaders had rushed them to the bloody folly on the basis of almost manic constitutional abstractions. The result is not merely an absorbing narrative, but almost a clinical description of the psychosis of a region which went galloping to destruction. This is a good book, a sad book, and a story of a torn country from which a torn world might learn much even now.
I feel if I'm going to come here as an authority, Bob, then it's only fair that I be alerted 2 or 3 hours ahead of time to prepare an answer.
Well, I'm very sorry, Anna Mary. We've got to pause here. This is Monitor going places and doing things. Take one.
Times. Monitor continues its report on the supreme reality of the threat that hangs over every rooftop in the land. Burnville, Pennsylvania, evacuated earlier today in a test, is returning now to normal. In 26 minutes, Monitor will check in again, now that the lawful residents have taken over and the play, shall we say, is all played out.
B.F. Goodrich presents George Burns and Gracie Allen. This is Harry Bonzell, and I want George and Gracie to tell you about the Burns and Allen Old Tube Roundup.
Right now, B.F. Goodrich retailers all over the country are campaigning to get all the old-fashioned tires and inner tubes off the road. They've been paying $1 extra bonus for all the old inner tubes when you trade for the B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires.
That's because old-fashioned tires with inner tubes are dangerous. Trade in your old tires and tubes for the safety of B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires.
Well, that's good advice, Gracie. Folks, your B.F. Goodrich retailers are giving the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires. Plus a $1 bonus for your old inner tubes when you trade for B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires. Get in on the George Burns and Gracie Allen Old Tube Roundup before the 4th of July and enjoy the holiday and your summer vacation with safe, new tubeless tires made by B.F. Goodrich. First in rubber and first in tubeless, too.
Monitor hits the silk. At Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the millionth paratrooper is about ready to take his qualifying jump.
This is Sam Beard with the payoff. We are standing at the present time just outside the command tent at the drop zone, code name Sicily North, a paradrop area some 8 miles west of the main post on the Fort Bragg Reservation. Somewhere above us, an 18th Air Force flying boxcar, they call it the C-119 in the trade, is winging its way steadily toward our position. This is a most significant flight. For aboard that ship is the 1 millionth man to qualify for service with the airborne troops. He's Private Leo Palmer, a member of the 505th Airborne Infantry Regiment, of the 82nd Airborne Division. Palmer has withstood the rigorous physical training program. He's been thoroughly trained in the use of the airborne soldier's basic weapons, and when he reaches the ground near us in just a few moments, he will have completed his fifth jump. Silver parachutist wings will be pinned on his chest, and Palmer will be rated as duly qualified. In the plane with Private Palmer is monitor reporter Phil Ellis, and in a moment we're going to switch to Phil for a word picture of the reaction of the millionth man about to qualify. And jumping in the same stick with Private Palmer is veteran paratrooper and, incidentally, monitor airborne commentator Master Sergeant Jim Carper. Carper will highlight for monitor the sensation of jumping from a high-speed plane, for strapped on his back is a tiny radio transmitter, and you'll hear Carper describe his own descent to the ground. But more of that later. Let's switch positions now to Phil Ellis, topside, up in that flying boxcar for reactions from the man who's about to become the 1,000,000th man to qualify for service with airborne troops. Come in, Phil Ellis, in that C-119 flying boxcar.
And this is monitor Phil Ellis in the boxcar over the drop zone, or approaching the drop zone here near Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And now we want to move up and talk right quick. They're going to start giving orders to stand up and hook up. And while they're doing that, I'm going to say a couple of words here to Private Leo Palmer. I want to talk to Private Leo Palmer, who is our millionth man. Soldier, how do you feel? This is a big day for you.
Yes, I'm very excited and
anxious
to jump.
You are anxious to jump? Okay, there goes the order to stand up, and you're already standing up, so we're not going to keep you for just a second. There he says hook up. You'll hook up. Where are you from, Private?
Franklin, Massachusetts.
I understand you went to school at the University of New Hampshire for a couple of years. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
What did you major in?
I majored in phys ed.
Physical education. Well, I'm not going to bother you too much anymore. You're lined up and ready to go. Coming in over the drop zone. And the first man out will be Captain Daniel. And then they'll go out 1, 2, 3, 4 very fast on the green light, which is thrown on by the pilot. The pilot will give them the signal to go. That's Captain Dewey Abel. And Captain Abel will give the signal by the green light by pushing the button. The navigator will tell him when to throw the signal. And they'll go out. And the last man out will be Sergeant Carper. And I will introduce him as he goes out the door of this aircraft. There he goes, the first one out, Captain Daniels. 2, 3, 4, they're going out both sides. 6, 7, 8, 9, the ninth man. There's the millionth man, and here is Sergeant Carper.
Well, there's that canopy blossom out over me, looking mighty beautiful up here today. That's one feeling I'll never forget, the look of that suit. There's Palmer. His chute is open okay, and he's drifting toward the ground in very good manner. So he must feel. It's been 13 years since I made my fifth jump, and I never forget that feeling. I even have it now, but not near as much as I know Palmer has. This being his fifth jump, and I ought to be the first one to congratulate him, although he can't hear me. He's on the ground now. Palmer is on the right. He's getting up and getting out of his chute, and I'm still about 50 or 60 feet high. And I'm going to get rid of the microphone so I can keep this antenna out of range when I hit the ground.
And this is Sam Beard on the ground. Thank you, Master Sergeant Jim Carper, monitor airborne communicator. Believe you me, it was a thrilling, spine-chilling thing for us to sit here and listen to you from our command tent describe your descent from that C-119. Private Palmer is safely on the ground. He's the 1,000,000th man to qualify for service with airborne troops. Alongside is Master Sergeant Jim Carper, the airborne communicator for monitor. And we're going to talk to both of them in just a moment or two.
B.F. Goodrich presents George Burns and Gracie Allen.
And George and I, in turn, present the George Burns and Gracie Allen Old Tube Roundup, now being held by B.F. Goodrich retailers all over the country.
That's right, friends. We're trying to get dangerous inner tubes that cause blowouts and sometimes serious accidents off the highways. To do this, B.F. Goodrich retailers are helping us by giving you the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires when you trade for the safety of the B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires.
And more than that, right now he's giving you an extra $1 bonus for your old tube when you trade for B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires.
And this is Harry Von Zell, and I'd like to urge you to trade for tubeless tire safety now. During the Burns and Allen Old Tube Roundup. Get ready for the 4th of July weekend by getting this safety for your car. Remember, your B.F. Goodrich retailer will give you the highest trade-in allowance of the year for your old tires, plus a $1 bonus for your old tubes when you trade for B.F. Goodrich tubeless tires. See him today.
Let's pick up some unfinished business, shall we? Back to Fort Bragg and the country's millionth paratrooper.
We're down on the ground again at a point they call the impact point. And standing right beside us is Private Lee Palmer, the millionth man to jump. And along with him, Master Sergeant Jim Carper, who described his descent to you by mobile radio. And also, we have many other paratroopers gathered around us. They're all on the ground and all safely. But right now, we want to talk to the millionth man, Private Palmer. We understand you're from Braintree, Massachusetts. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
That's a sort of a historic town, isn't it?
It is somewhat, yes.
Who was it? John Quincy Adams, wasn't it? Born there?
I think so, yes, sir.
Well, you made sort of a historic event today yourself, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're certainly proud of you, and may we be the very first to congratulate you on this jump. It's your fifth, right?
That is correct.
Did you have any unusual circumstances today? Was it a routine jump?
It was a routine jump, except for one case I had to put up a right slip in order to pull away from one man I was pretty close to.
A right slip? You mean you can slip your chute and cause it to go in one direction or the other? How do you do that?
By reaching high up on your risers and pulling them down in towards your chest. You can more or less direct the direction of the chute.
Do you dump air out of the chute then?
Spilling air out, yes, sir.
I see. How long ago did you make your first jump, Private Palmer?
It was about a week ago, sir.
Well, you are a new man.
Yes, sir. Very new.
Well, I tell you, I wanted to ask you this. Was there any difference between the first jump and the one today, the fifth one?
The first jump, I was not so nervous as I have been on my last jumps because I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I was more or less numb and had no feelings at all of going out of the plane.
Do you have much of a feeling of falling just after you leave the plane, Private Palmer?
Well, I never experienced any. The only thing that I noticed going out that door is the prop blast.
The prop blast does hit
yes,
you.
I don't get any sensation of falling, though.
But in these big C-19 or C-119 flying boxcars, there's no possibility of you're ever hitting the tail. You're well below the tail assembly.
Well below, sir, yes.
I see. And does that chute open automatically, as we heard Phil Ellis say?
Yes, it does.
How long, how many seconds after you leave the door of that ship does it open?
Approximately 4 seconds.
I see. You hit the ground pretty hard, don't you?
Well, it all depends upon the wind, I figure. Most of the time, I've landed pretty easily.
Uh-huh. And what sort of procedure do you follow as you hit the ground? Do you roll?
Well, they have 5 points of contact which you will hit, which they call a parachute landing fall. They are the balls of your feet, your calf muscle, your thigh muscle, your buttocks, and your push-up muscle.
Well, I understand you majored in physical education up at the University of New Hampshire. Is that right?
That is right.
That sort of got you ready for what you were doing today.
Yes, it did.
Well, we, again, want to congratulate you, Private Palmer, on your being the millionth man to qualify for the airborne troops. And by the way, we understand those airborne paratrooper wings are going to be presented at a special ceremony up in Washington.
That's right.
When is that?
That's going to be on July 3rd, I believe, sir.
All right, and we further understand that Monitor is going to be on hand. Congratulations, Private Palmer, and I guess the best thing we can wish you is many, many happy landings.
Thank you very much, sir.
For the best used car at a low, low price, get an okay used car, take our advice.
Your Chevrolet dealer exclusively
sells okay used cars with warranty. Before a used car gets this okay, it's thoroughly checked in a big, big way. Reconditioned by experts too.
Warranted in writing by the dealer for you.
For top used cars, be sure to see your Chevrolet dealer who exclusively
has okay used cars better 6 ways.
Stop where you see the big okay at your Chevrolet dealers.
For a better used car, see your Chevrolet dealers' okay used cars. You'll find what you're looking for: good looks, good performance, and a good low price. Now's the time to get a terrific bargain. Remember, every okay used car is warranted in writing by your Chevrolet dealer. Warranted to be okay all the way.
You may have noticed there in that pickup from Fort Bragg that the jumpers didn't, they weren't yelling Geronimo, or at least we couldn't hear them. But, of course, that is a phrase very familiarly associated with parachute jumping. And in our studio, by coincidence today, we have an Indian whose name is Geronimo. Are you a chief, sir, or?
Me not chief.
Not?
Me hunt many buffalo. With bow and arrow.
I understand you have a very colorful background, that you've appeared in quite a few motion pictures, Wild West shows, and things like that.
Me appear in many, many Western movies. Many carnival.
And where right now do you reside?
Many buffalo with bow and arrow.
Where's your home right now, home Geronimo?
Home where hang headdress.
I see. And the last picture you appeared in was about a year ago, isn't that right?
In that picture, me scalp him Jeff Chandler. Good.
And I understand you had a couple of run-ins with Sonny Tufts, too, and
me
Alan Ladd.
Sonny Tufts many time.
Uh-huh.
Me hunt bow and arrow.
You're an expert horseman. I've seen you on
me
film.
Me ride Palomino Pinto many time.
Palomino Pinto, and
me
you...
Me hold record for very fast horse race.
And you've done many exciting trick horsemanship
me
feats,
ride sideways on horse.
Mm-hmm.
Me
and
fall off horse at fall. Very fast speed. Me daredevil Indian.
I see.
Me hunt many buffalo with bow and arrow.
Geronimo, a daredevil Indian here on Monitor today, and a trick rider, as a matter of fact, too. What do you think is the most exciting experience that you've ever had as far as trick riding goes? Being shot off a horse, or...
Oh, being shot off horse is very exciting.
Uh-huh.
Fall from cliff in hand-to-hand mortal combat.
I see. Well,
very exciting.
As an example, when you fall off a horse, what do you do? What do you say?
Always Indian say when jump from horse, airborne troops.
Thank you, Bob and Ray. Coming up on Monitor, Henry Cabot Lodge, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, and four top newsmen, Pierre Huss, August Heckscher, James Reston, Lawrence Spivak. This and more on Monitor, direct and transcribed.
This is Monitor, the new NBC radio service.
This is Monitor, 34th hour. Monitor sent you away from Radio Central in New York. Time's a few seconds past the hour. The date is Sunday, June 19th, and this is Clifton Vanderman. In the hour ahead, we'll visit a town just passing through a rehearsal for Survival. And we'll hob and nob with Ray and Bob. And we'll look in at Nick's, the only nightclub in New York with stained glass windows. But right now, Mel Brandt with the Monitor headlines.
Buenos Aires, in the first direct report from Argentina since last week's revolt, Monitor correspondent Robert Lindley said a few minutes ago that President Juan Perón will never again have the extreme dictator's power he had before the uprising. Aboard the presidential plane Columbine, President Eisenhower heads for San Francisco to take part in the 10th anniversary session of the United Nations. Moscow, Russia has demanded that the United States obtain the release of the crew of a Soviet tanker captured by the Chinese nationalists off Formosa. Cairo, Egyptian government officials have expressed alarm that full-scale war may resume between Egypt and Israel soon.
You're really living it up when you drive a Chevrolet V8, the hottest car in the low-price field, Chevrolet.
The top news story of the moment is a sports story. The eyes of the sports world are on the city by the Golden Gate. Monitor now has a direct line to the Olympic golf course in San Francisco where sports history is about to be made today. We've been checking constantly on that line for the start of the playoff match between Ben Hogan and Jack Fleck, their playoff for the championship in the National Open Golf Tournament. For the latest on this top sports report of the day, Monitor takes you now to San Francisco and the Olympic Country Club.
And Harry Von Zell again reporting to you from the terrace of the Olympic Country Club in San Francisco, on which wonderful tournament golf course a tremendous gallery has watched our two contestants of the day hit their drives on the first hole, and the battle is underway. Lawson, do you have some information on that yet?
Thank you, Harry Von Zell. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. The two contestants, Jack Fleck, a newcomer, and old campaigner Ben Hogan, have just teed off. Ben Hogan's drive at the first hole was about 275 yards, straight down the middle. Jack Fleck was also in the fairway, about a yard or two from the rough, not quite as long as Ben's. His second shot... That is, Ben's second shot was in the trap, short of the green. Incidentally, this first hole is a very, very long par five hole and has not been reached in two during the entire tournament. It's 530 yards, and it's guarded by two traps. Fleck's second shot was in the fairway, and at the present time, they're preparing to play their third shots to the greens. Now, a word or two about Jack Fleck. He's 6 feet 1 inches tall. He weighs 160 pounds. He's 32 years of age. He was born in Bettendorf, Iowa, on November the 8th, 1922. His wife's name is Lynn. I know she will be listening. And they have one son by the name of Greg, age 4. He played his first round of golf at the age of 16. He played in his first tournament at the age of 17. And he turned professional at the age of 18. And I would say that's pretty fast work. He's competed in 3 National Open Championships. In Marion in 1950, he failed to qualify for the last 36 holes. He was 52nd his next try, and here he is tied for the lead after the regular 72 holes with a great score of 287. So here we are, now back to Harry Von Zell.
Thank you very, very much, Lawson. It's wonderful to be able to give the audience this rather cryptic and yet very complete picture of this young fellow who has brought the attention of the country so suddenly upon himself. He's played some masterful golf here. We had an opportunity to talk this morning with some of the boys who have campaigned with him a little in the past, and they describe him as a very friendly, very quiet, and very composed young man, not overconfident, but well confident in his own ability. Have you got a report there? What's happening on the green, Lawson?
Jack Fleck is on the green in regulation figures par 3. He has 2 putts to make his par 5.
And there you have it. We'll be giving you these reports from time to time now as the tournament progresses. We have an observer following these boys with a walkie-talkie. We're getting up-to-the-minute reports. And as things happen, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, Lawson Little and I will pass them on to you as soon as it is possible to do so. And now back to Monitor at Radio Central in New York.
Thank you very much, Harry Von Zell and Lawson Little. Thanks to that direct line we have with you, we'll be staying right on top of that story here in Monitor. It's an exciting story either way. Either Hogan gets his 5th crown as National Open champ or a completely unknown young lad of 32 gathers it in for himself. An exciting story. We'll be with you all through the evening.
It's Wise to Wire.
Western Union.
Happy birthday, dear son.
Western Union.
Close deal by wire, each minute counts.
Western Union.
I'll arrive tomorrow on the 801.
Western Union.
It's a boy, 7 pounds, 1 ounce.
Good news travels faster by Western Union.
It's Wise to Wire.
Yes, sir, it's always Wise to Wire, and telegrams give you more for your money than ever before. You get 15 words to start with in every fast wire. Yes, 15. On night letters, you start with 50. That's right, 50 words. And additional words cost only pennies, too. So remember, for speed and economy in time and money, say it by telegram.
Send it! Western Union, Western Union. Western Union, Western Union. It's Wise to Wire.
On Monitor Sunday scoreboard, in the American League, first, 2 doubleheaders postponed because of rain. That's Kansas City at Washington and Detroit at Baltimore. First game of a twin bill, the New York Yankees regained first place by beating the Chicago White Sox 7-1. They have a big second game coming up in just a few minutes now. In a single game, the Boston Red Sox now lead the Cleveland Indians 8-7 in the top of the 8th. In the National League, final score, the Pittsburgh Pirates 5, Cincinnati Reds 2 in the first of a doubleheader. Philadelphia Phils and the Chicago Cubs are scoreless at the end of 9 innings. It's an overtime tie. That's also the first of 2. Brooklyn Dodgers 5, St. Louis Cardinals 4 in the top of the 6th. This is a single game. The Milwaukee Braves lead the New York Giants 6-3 in the top of the 5th, and that's another single game.
Hello there, this is Earn Westmore from Hollywood to tell you how you can become a star in your own home. Remember 5 years ago when you first heard the word lanolin for hair care? Remember the famous authority that first gave it to you? Yes, it was Charles Antel, and Charles Antel has sold over 40 million lanolin preparations. As a Westmore, it's been my job for 30 years to glamorize Hollywood stars, so I know the part that Charles Antel played in keeping their hair beautiful and bright. Now Charles Antel has done it again, this time with triple strength Super Lanolin Formula 9. It makes ordinary lanolin old hat. Believe me, nothing equals Charles Antel Super Lanolin Formula 9 in giving your hair luster of new life and a healthier scalp. It's true for men as well as women. Liquid or cream in sizes from 59 cents to $1.79 with a money-back guarantee. As a Westmore, I know the best, so insist on Charles Antel Super Lanolin Formula 9, America's finest hair and scalp conditioner. Professional care is best for your hair. See your barber or beauty shop regularly.
Monitor's final report on Burnville, Pennsylvania, where they ought to be getting back to normal about now. Remember that earlier you heard a monitor description of the mass evacuation of the city. Well, like one who awakens after a disturbing dream, the residents of Burnville are finding that each familiar thing is in its appointed place. To Burnville, Station WRAW and Martin Miller.
For an hour and a half this afternoon, Burnville, Pennsylvania was a ghost town. More than 500 residents were evacuated after an enemy bomber theoretically crashed in the area. The evacuation was part of Operation Evacuation, a combined effort of the Civil Air Patrol and the Civil Defense. Now the citizens have returned to town and Main Street has come alive. The residents, in a convoy of 83 cars, were transported to the General Carl A. Spots Airfield in Reading, a distance of 10 miles. The skies above eastern Pennsylvania have been cloudy all day, and rain fell intermittently. Because of the bad flying weather, most of the Civil Air Patrol planes remained on the ground. However, some did get through and successfully carried out their missions. Where aircraft could not be used, the Civil Air Patrol completed their operations by using automobiles. Our broadcast headquarters is located on the porch of the Telephone Exchange, overlooking Main Street here in Burnville. Mr. Luther Henney, a post office worker, and his family reside a few doors away. They participated in the evacuation. Mr. Henney, tell us, how long did it take to make the trip from Burnville to General Carl Spots Field?
Approximately 15 minutes.
And when you arrived at the airport, just what happened?
Well, we were guided into the parking lot. And then from there, we went to the registration office where they had us register. It took a few seconds to go through that.
Actually, how did the process of registration of all these people go off?
I'd say very fast, smoothly.
You wear dog tags, I understand. Were you checked for against a list with your dog tags?
Yes, we were.
Mm-hmm. I understand, too, that some of the members of the Burnville population acted as casualties and fatalities.
Yes, the Boy Scouts and a few of the other residents of town were the casualties. Of course, they had their arms bandaged and their legs, and some were burned badly.
And I believe some of them acted as corpses, too. Is that correct?
That is correct. There were quite a few in as corpses also.
Well, did it look realistic?
It did all of that.
People took it quite seriously, in other words. Is that
correct?
Yes,
I would say they did.
And after you were registered, you received a meal. You were fed there. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. What did the meal consist of, Mr. Henney?
Oh, we had coffee and milk, cookies, crackers, pretzels.
And in your opinion, Mr. Henney, was Operation Evacuation a success?
Yes, I would say it was.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Luther Henney. And that sums up Operation Evacuation from Burnville, Pennsylvania. This has been a combined effort of the Pennsylvania Wing of the Civil Air Patrol and the Berks County Council of Civil Defense. This is Martin Miller, now back to Monitor in Radio Central in New York.
Burnville, Pennsylvania picks up the old familiar ways, and Monitor picks up Bob and Ray.
And on our phone right now, Bob and Ray sports commentator Steve Bosco. Steve, can you hear me?
Hello, Ray.
Now,
this is Steve Bosco.
Wait a
minute. Put on Bob, will
Let's
you,
get it straight right now. This
Hello.
Is Bob. Ray isn't here.
Hello, Bob. Steve.
Right.
I thought I was cut off there for a minute.
Where are you? Where are you
I'm
calling
here,
from?
I'm here just a few miles from San Francisco, Bob.
Yeah?
And we're all pretty excited about the upcoming match. I run into a little trouble here, Ray. Come on, Bob.
This Bob on here,
Hello,
Steve.
Hello, Bob, Steve. I thought I'd cut off there for
you
a
say
minute.
You ran
I ran into a little trouble here with the police authority,
Well, I hope it isn't
Bob.
Financial trouble, because we can't take care of any more of these calls for a lot of money. The budget just doesn't call for it. If you're in trouble, you'll have to get yourself out of it.
Hello?
Hello?
Thought I was cut off there for a minute. So if I could get some money pronto, I'd certainly appreciate it very, very much,
Bob. Well, we can't just send you money without knowing what kind of trouble you
well,
got
I've
into.
I've been carried away the past few days out here. You know, I've been panning myself off as a monitor communicator and big man in sports.
Yeah, well.
And I signed a few checks for Frick. And
well,
it's coming back to
roost with
me now.
It's a pretty silly thing to do, actually, you know.
And I was carried away with it. You can probably understand how I could do that, Bob.
So you're in the pokey right now. Hello.
Thought I was getting off there
no,
for a minute.
No, I can hear you well. You're in trouble. You're in jail now, then, in other words, huh?
No, not exactly, Bob. They've given me until 6 o'clock. That's your time.
Yeah.
So that certainly gives you time to get me a check out here pronto.
Well,
can you do that right
I'll
away?
See what we can do, but I doubt very much if we can be too much help to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Would you do that and just send the check to Steve Bosco, care of the most expensive hotel in San Francisco? And now this is Steve Bosco, rounding third, being thrown out at home.
Well, here's Monitor listening in again now on the music of Cole Porter, and here's a title with the simplicity of Wordsworth, In the Still of the Night.